Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, I, Luke Cutforth, and our very special guest, man and YouTuber, Noah Adams, bring together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslade will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at educating Josh. Noah, welcome to the show. I'm sorry for introducing you like that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I said to Noah before we started recording, how would you like me to introduce you? Meaning like YouTuber, activist, that kind of thing.
Activist.
And he replied, activist. As a man.
Introduce me as a man.
Thank you very much.
Josh, James, are you excited to educate Josh?
Hell yeah. Josh, you excited to educate yourself?
You guys are so pro at this.
To be fair,
so overwhelmed.
Most weeks,
you are.
Josh just educates himself whilst we sit next to him.
So. That's true. Just nod.
Well, last week, Lucy Moon's story was the first on the episode. So, Noah, could you please tell me how Lucy Moon's story performed in the polls?
I could. So, Lucy Moon's question was, is stripping off for a good cause setting a good example? 71% of people said yes, 18% said no, and 11% said other.
I absolutely lost this one because I had to tweet, by the way, guys, some of my opinions.
Oh, yeah, you tweeted afterwards. I'm not proud of this.
Sharing the other side. I was very scared.
I think you did a really good job of trying to see Piers Morgan's point on it. It's just sometimes that's
very good
hard.
Devil's advocate.
Very good devil's advocate, Luke.
So Ruth on Twitter said, I definitely agree that empowerment is trendy at the moment, but I think that's a lot healthier than body shaming and a step in the right direction.
Oh. Hell yeah, Ruth.
No. Hell. Sorry, Ruth. Too much of a good thing is just as bad as too much is a bad thing.
Okay, well, my story was second, and I asked, should companies be allowed to deliberately spread negative stories about competitors?
This was a cracking story,
it was
guys.
Really good.
Oh,
I love this
divided.
One. And we had 37% say yes, 54% say no, and 9% say other. Ooh. I am proud of that one.
I am very proud of that because that is something that you... I think we get quite a lot of people look at a poll and just vote. And then I think...
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to see that higher yes.
Yeah.
Because if you just read the question, that's an instant no.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm quite proud of that 37% yes.
Nice. Well, Millie on Twitter said, I think a small amount of shade is always fine. Of course you do, Millie. But as long as it isn't deliberately belittling another company, it's almost kind of funny. Millie's in it for the jokes. Fantastic.
Millie's there for the lols.
Last week, my question was, it was a bit lighthearted. My question was, do we celebrate Christmas too early? And it was quite divided. 57% said yes, 42% said no, and only 1% said other. So that was quite interesting.
Very interesting indeed. Everyone that said yes is wrong.
I think it was just a matter of opinion.
Josh, we've had this talk about not forcing our opinions on people.
Everyone that said yes is wrong.
Everyone's
in my
wrong.
Opinion. And that's my opinion, Luke.
Well, Alexander on Twitter said, I don't think there should be a snow-covered Christmas tree next to an entire Halloween display. After bonfire night is the acceptable time to get Christmassy, in my opinion.
Was that an actual thing that happened?
I don't know, but it's kind of funny that it's called Alexander and he's also kind of dictating. He just needs the great after his first name.
Okay, well, it's time to move on to the first story of the week, and that is James's story.
My story comes from CNN, and the headline is 13 Reasons Why Tied to a Rise in Suicide Searches Online. These are the three things you need to know. After the show's premiere, online searches related to suicide awareness and prevention increased, but so did search terms associated with ideation. The search "How to Commit Suicide" rose 26% above what would normally have been expected for that time. Suicide prevention went up 23%, and suicide hotline number jumped 21%. The show follows the fictional story of a teenage girl named Hannah Baker who leaves behind 13 mysterious cassette tape recordings after killing herself. Each audio recording is addressed to a person who Hannah says has played a role in her decision to end her own life. In the wake of the backlash to season 1, Netflix made some changes to the show when it returned earlier this year, including a warning video advising viewers to watch with a trusted adult. Despite calls for the show to be banned, a third series was commissioned in the summer. My question to you, Josh, is should we ban shows for targeting sensitive topics at teenagers?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
It seems to me that it's kind of obvious, in my opinion, that all those things would go up after a show like that. The statistic that sticks out at me is that the suicide hotline number has also risen, as well as suicide prevention. I don't think anyone's going to kill themselves after watching that show that wasn't already potentially going to. It's quite a touchy subject, though.
It very much is. There's a lot of subjects this week that I'm very scared for.
Yeah, so it's very exciting. My general opinion on the whole thing is, for me, suicide is quite a selfish thing. To a point where I wouldn't do it because I see it as selfish. I wouldn't see someone else do it and go, "Oh, you're selfish." I'd go, "Oh, you were troubled and you needed help." But personally, I wouldn't do it because I think it's selfish on the people that you leave behind. So.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Who of you guys have seen 13 Reasons Why? Because I've never watched it.
I've watched all of it.
I saw all the press and basically I went, this is going to make me angry. I don't need that in my life. I'll just avoid it completely.
Now, I see why it makes people angry. And I've been quite loud about this on Twitter because this...
been very loud.
Very loud about this on Twitter. There was basically a study done where they took a bunch of already, as they describe, vulnerable, at-risk teenagers and asked them questions about the show after they watched it. And there was a figure, I think it was... over 50% of the kids said that they felt more suicidal tendencies after watching the show.
Then don't
but
watch it.
They only asked kids who already were having suicidal tendencies.
Did they make the kids watch it, or were they kids who did watch
I think they were kids who watched it naturally.
Is there a trigger warning on it?
Yes. There is now.
There is.
Yes.
I made a mistake on Twitter because I thought at the front of every episode there was a trigger warning, but there was only trigger warnings on three from the first season, and those three episodes are the ones with the graphic material. There was two episodes that showed graphic rape scenes, and there was one that showed suicide. Very graphic detail.
Well, then those people don't understand the need of a trigger warning then, do they? If
exactly.
That's the only episodes
it's,
that have
it's,
them.
It's literally like someone with a nut allergy reading a bar of nuts and saying, oh, I'll ignore that.
Well, I don't think...
True.
Because it's going to end up killing them. Fair.
No, I mean, I'm talking about the people that are putting the trigger warning on the producers of the show. Every episode should have had a trigger warning.
Every episode in season two had a trigger warning. And
absolutely.
And there was a pre-roll at the beginning of the season that said...
At least they learned from their mistake.
Yeah, this series...
By killing
themselves. They got backlash after season one and they think they learned the lesson.
I want to sort of ask Josh a little bit of a qualifier, because this question is obviously quite deliberately divisive and saying, should we ban it? It fails to take into account the idea that we already do ban subjects from teenagers. We have ratings on films. And so what I sort of, when I was researching this and thinking about it, what I sort of thought it meant was more along the lines of, should things that deal with something so horrendous as suicide automatically be an 18?
Because this isn't an 18 show.
Yeah, the show is still subject to
people
the laws
of Netflix enforce that.
Yeah, it does. Well, it does say. I don't know if they have age verification.
Are you over
15?
I think it's. I don't know. Okay.
Well, but even in this show, do you think that shows where you discuss something as horrific as suicide should be automatically not available to children? Because in my mind, these subjects, until you are an adult, these subjects should be closely monitored by a professional.
Absolutely not. Then who's playing God? What age? People mature differently. I completely don't agree with ratings on films anyway. And I know you were brought up in a very strict household when it came to ratings when you were growing up.
Yes, my mum used to make me leave the room. She let me watch Little Britain, which was too old for me, but she made me leave the room for the naughty one. ones, just the funny ones I could watch.
I wasn't allowed to watch Pirates of the Caribbean for ages.
Yeah, so I just, I don't agree with
I know.
I was allowed to watch 18s and I was like, straight out of the womb. Like, my parents didn't give a shit.
Yeah, me too. And I found my own kind of level that I was happy with. When I didn't understand something, I spoke and had a conversation with my mum about it, and I was educated on topics rather than kind of hidden from them. Because the problem with that is you turn 16 and all of a sudden it's like, boom, and you don't deal with it very well. And I think that's probably, I've seen the effects that that could potentially have had on you or other people. I've seen this where that kind of goes a little bit. I think you when you nanny someone like that, it's not the best idea. But I think we're kind of moving away from the actual kind of question itself. I know that some very young children have suffered from depression, and I think an 11-year-old boy recently killed himself because he was gay and his classmates didn't understand it.
Sure.
And he committed suicide. So I don't know. I haven't seen the show, so I can't really comment on whether it's appropriate or not. I think when it's dealing with a subject like that, you really have to do it in a way that makes sense. And from what I've seen from James's tweeting, this show doesn't. There's a lot of glorification, and it handles some things not very well. The thing about all of that is, for me personally, as long as at the front of the show there's a trigger warning or there is something that says we're going to be dealing with the issue of suicide, and we may not have dealt with it in a way that is true
to you.
Well,
they don't say that. I don't think they go, we're flawed, our show might be rubbish.
don't watch it
if you're a bit vulnerable. I mean, the thing is for me is I started self-harming because I found out
Hollyoaks
what it
does.
Was from
Hollyoaks
somebody
does.
Else.
Every episode of Hollyoaks that deals with suicide, that deals with depression, anxiety, with all those issues, at the end of the show, you know, they have numbers you can call, help, you know, prevention lines, things like that. So I think that
this is the other thing, 13 reasons why they do have a link. I think it's at the end of the credits. So in the credits or at the beginning of the show, they have a website that has all these hotline numbers for every country. And
yeah, and I mean, what's the opposite of it? Like, that's not a show that's necessarily going to make a lot of money. It's not...
13 Reasons Why?
Yeah, it's not necessarily going to make a lot of money.
It did very well.
I mean, I'm sure it did very well and also caused a lot of people to sign up to Netflix so they could see what it was about.
I mean, but did it do well?
Yeah.
Is that something we know?
Yeah, it was like one of the biggest Netflix original series, I think.
13 Reasons Why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, it was being quite controversial, but I think there's been much bigger show. I mean, Orange is the New Black.
Obviously, there's been bigger shows.
Yeah.
I don't think it's their biggest show by any means, but it's not... What do they gain by talking about a subject like that?
Well, they gain notoriety and press, and then you sign up for Netflix subscriptions.
They're the most subscribed platform in the country.
I mean, if they didn't gain anything from it, then they wouldn't be doing it. They're a business. Obviously, they're doing something to gain something from it.
No, that's a director that sold his or her... look at that. Inbuilt sexism there, guys. I went to him first, though. That is a director and a writer that have had an idea and pitched it to Netflix.
The question here is talking about, it's not so much about whether shows should be made that deal with these issues. It's about the targeting. And so what I don't really know what I think about this. I'm not entirely set on anything. But what I find uncomfortable to a certain extent is it's made at children. It's like having a CBBC show.
It's set in a high school. I'm not saying necessarily.
I don't know what Netflix's intention, but yes, it's set. I mean, it's set in that because that's what the story is.
Yeah.
But you could have an adult show where it's set in a school, for example.
Yeah.
But like, what do you think about the idea of
it's targeted at children? It's a show all about teenage problems.
Children get depressed. I mean, and there's from what I see, and I don't agree with anything to do with like a snowflake generation or anything like that. I think there is a lot of people online. It's become trendy to be depressed. It's become trendy to have anxiety. And a lot of people that do have these issues are getting swallowed up in this kind of... There's a lot of people that just don't. And I don't think a show like this is targeting the ones that have actual issues. I think it's maybe looking at the ones that like to think they do.
I don't think it was necessarily put out for suicide prevention.
And they've commissioned a book and got the story, and they've gone, this would make a really good series. I mean, it's different. It's it's pushing a boundary. And whenever you push a boundary in an art form, it gets criticism if it's too much. Like, God, I've seen von Trier films where they bite off penises. Like, you know, is that too much? Well, yeah, it was. Yeah, it was way too much. I wish there'd been a trigger warning in there.
Okay, Josh, well, away from biting penises, at the start of the show, you had this to say.
I don't think, I mean, it seems to me that it's kind of obvious, in my opinion, that all those things would go up after a show like that. I think I still agree with that. I think my argument for this is that, and this is being proven right now in Portugal and Amsterdam and all over the world, that just because drugs are made illegal doesn't mean people are going to do them. Just because we're talking about this subject doesn't mean people are then going to go out and commit suicide. I don't think violent games make people violent. I think there is something in that person already. They're seeking that and play it a certain way. And also, you know, my general stance on anything is that banning is bad. It's about, more, you know, educate more and go into it with a more open mind.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week. That's Noah's story.
So, my story is from The Guardian, and the headline is, "Bringing genetics into trans identity is a terrifying path." The three things Josh needs to know is, a study looking at a possible genetic marker for gender dysphoria has sent off alarm bells in the trans community. A team of scientists investigated a set of gene variations that appeared more frequently in the DNA of trans women than of cisgender men. By examining a link between genetics and gender dysphoria, the study is looking for a biological cause for being transgender. However, many have said the investigation may do more damage than good. When publishing material that supports the idea that there is a biological element to gender identity, scientists, policymakers, and the general public are less inclined to listen to trans activists. So the question is bringing genetics into trans identity a good idea?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Yeah, of course it's a good idea. If we're unaware of something scientifically, in my head, surely you find out the truth. Like, if that is something that is unknown or we don't know and we're looking into it, then we should know that regardless and educate ourselves. It sounds like trans people or trans activists or some trans activists may want us to just stick our head in the sand and be like, let's not find out just in case it affects us badly, which is a bad way to look at it.
See, this is really interesting because I actually said this to Noah the other day.
Yeah, right, great.
Where, well, and this is really important. This is really important because this is a very big argument against what they're doing. Now, what I said to Noah the other day was, why do you believe that you are a man? And Noah, you replied,
because I have gender dysphoria and I am one.
Okay, that's not what you replied.
I don't remember what I said.
What you replied was that you believe you have a male brain.
Oh, yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that's sort of, a lot of trans people believe they have a male brain, right? And I said, well, that's not a hard thing to check. You could have an MRI and find out if you have a typically male brain. If you found out you didn't have a typically male brain, where would you assign your maleness to? Would you then be forced to believe in a soul? And see, what I find uncomfortable with this is that this is assuming that science knows absolutely everything. We already have all the answers.
Yeah.
And that if you find a genetic marker for being trans, that's then, oh, the soul doesn't exist though, so it's just that one marker, right?
But I'm sure there's gay people that don't have the gay gene.
I think it's just a gene saying that you're more prone to.
I don't think it necessarily says the soul doesn't exist. I think it just says that maybe there is a biological reason for being trans.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would... What if you don't have gender dysphoria?
Okay.
What if you don't have gender dysphoria?
What about it?
And you are just a person that wants to be the opposite sex. How is that seen?
Well, you have dysphoria because you because you're in the wrong body. See, is the
thing. If you don't believe you're in the wrong body, you're very happy, you're very aware that, for example, take me.
Right.
I'm a man. I know I'm a man. I don't have a I'm not kind of confused about that. Everything about me says that. But actually, I kind of want to be a woman.
That's just, it's annoying. It's my opinion that
that's really interesting. I've never thought about that, because that's essentially, like, you should have choice if you want to.
Yeah, but that's not what being trans is, because it, like, belittles, like, the actual...
But do you want to be trans, or do you want to be the sex that you want to be?
Oh, I want to be the sex I want to be.
Right.
But the word for it is trans, because you can't get away from that.
Well, not right now. If people keep using the word trans...
Okay, I won't use the word trans anymore in the trans discussion. Okay.
I feel like we should have put... having had the discussion we just had, I feel like we should have put a trigger warning at the start of this question, because it's a very difficult topic.
It is.
I think if you transition to being a woman, I think you'd give yourself gender dysphoria.
Yeah, that's why it's a requirement to have gender dysphoria to medically transition. Otherwise, you'd just be screwing yourself up.
Why?
Because you'd grow tits, and I mean.
But what if I want them?
If you want tits, well then I don't know the answer to that question. But
that is a really interesting thing you raised there, Josh, because I've never thought about that in the slightest. About if someone just went, I fancy that. Like, what's wrong with that? Why not? Like, what's wrong with
it? What we're trying to, is that not where we're trying to go in the world, which is just that everything is accepted and everything's okay?
Yeah, but that's just something that I just don't agree with regarding trans stuff.
Well, I suppose what the distinction I'd make, Noah, is forgive me if I'm putting words in your mouth.
Okay.
The thing that I think you dislike is when people want to be trans,
yeah,
but don't have dysphoria.
Yeah.
What Josh is talking about is a different thing. Is he just goes, I fancy being the opposite sex.
Well, that's what you just explained.
That is kind of the same dysphoria thing.
That's the same thing. But it's the idea that, so you don't feel comfortable, you think it's only okay to change your sex if you have dysphoria.
I mean, if you don't have dysphoria and you want to do that, go ahead. My issue with it is that on the NHS, it takes like 3 years nowadays to get medical treatment to transition. So
that's a different discussion, though.
If it's full of people that are just...
No, because that wouldn't be able to happen.
Because the NHS
would only give it to free to people that need it medically. Like, off a whim, if I wanted a breast enlargement, the NHS wouldn't give me that.
Oh,
or
right.
Breast reduction, they wouldn't give me that.
He'd pay for
it. So if you paid for it, then I don't care what you do.
if you went private, then do what you want.
I really hope this happens now.
Would I be as much of a woman in your eyes as another woman?
I mean, I wouldn't know by looking at you that you don't have gender dysphoria, but I
would say you, from my non-trans brain, you wouldn't be as much as a woman because you don't believe you're a woman. You believe you're a man and you're changing your body.
Yeah. So would it be okay for... So that would then mean that you're a man, you just fancied a woman's body.
Yeah, I think you'd be a separate category to trans people.
That's a new... We've created a new category, right?
I think there's a reason this never happened.
It's like a biological drag queen.
I feel like...
Oh, I like that.
I feel like
that's what they should call themselves.
Bio drag.
Bio drag.
Bio drag.
This is incredible. I love that.
Back to the question.
No, but the reason... Let me just explain why this is relevant, okay? With this kind of topic in general, this question... Bringing genetics into it is absolutely fine, because say there was a test showing that there's a gene means that some people will be allowed to transition automatically.
Yeah.
And then this is me on the fly figuring this out. So I believe, because if you can then prove, hey, I've got the gene, that's automatic. You then don't have to prove that you're mentally ill.
And
you have dysphoria, basically.
And it will help out a lot of people, because there's like the reason, right? So my experience is I transitioned privately. So I pretty much got fast track because I paid and I went through the assessments, got through all the assessments, and I could transition. If I didn't go privately, I wouldn't have started testosterone yet. And obviously that would have grated on like my mental health. And I think if there are genetic studies, sure, there's going to be people that are like opposed to it because they want to believe that you can identify however you want, which is a separate issue. But I think if there's genetic, if there's genetic studies, it's going to benefit you. Like, it's just going to fast track.
Will that create an elite tier?
Oh God, 100%. Yeah. It will.
That's true.
All right, Josh, well, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
Oh, dear. Yeah, of course it's a good idea. If we're unaware of something scientifically, in my head, surely you find out the truth. Yeah, I still agree with that. I'd go even further, though. I'd be like, it's like, yeah, guys, the trans community should kind of get together and support this. Because it's like... We're looking for a reason for, like, a legit scientific reason that's going to
this literally proves trans people exist.
Like, this proves our point. Like, that's all it is.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the last story of the week. That's my story. Josh, my story this week comes from TBI, and it is that YouTube urges content creators to speak out against Article 13.
I'm going to piss some people off with this.
Here are the three things you need to know. YouTube is encouraging content creators to speak out against European Parliament's copyright reform initiative, claiming that it would force it to block the vast majority of uploads from Europe. Article 13 essentially means that any website that hosts large amount of user-generated content like YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook are responsible for taking down that content if it breaks copyright law.
I love this law so much.
YouTube has launched... YouTube has launched a Save Your Internet campaign for content creators to make videos, tweet, and join the movement against Article 13. My question for you, Josh, is a simple one. Should Article 13 pass into law? 20 seconds, Josh. Go.
Yeah. I've yet to see one argument why Article 13 is bad. Like, and the amount of people I've seen moaning online about it, but also moaning when someone takes a picture of them and doesn't credit them, or is absolutely hilarious. The amount of hypocrisy I've seen online by people that I know, by content creators, is just a little bit weird at the moment. And I don't understand what it is that they're not getting.
But memes, though.
Yeah.
They're trying to ban our memes.
All right, well, we'll get on to that. I mean, so I was at first, being a YouTuber, I was at first very uncomfortable with the idea that YouTube was getting its user base to lobby the European Union to not pass. Because YouTube is a billion, multi-billion dollar company. And to go, save your internet, which basically means save our company, was very uncomfortable to me. I do, however...
They've obviously been doing a lot behind the scenes to lobby and trust me, they've been
lobbying very hard. But I just found it very uncomfortable because it was like, save your internet. Well, my internet's going to be fine. Your YouTube may be
your company.
But I have done an awful lot of research into this. Firstly, because I'm a YouTuber. Secondly, because I had to talk about it here. And I actually very much disagree with this legislation. So I do hope I'm going to be able to, like, at least slightly change your mind on this. By the way, guys, Noah and James, do you have any opinions on this?
Well, I haven't read too much into it, but I've just seen a lot of people are tweeting about this going, oh, but they're going to ban our memes. So I'm like...
Well, on the
but
memes...
But also, I know that memes are covered under, like, parody law or something.
On the memes, one thing is that you... The central thing I find so uncomfortable about this, sort of to give Josh some ammunition here, is that nowhere in the EU copyright directive does it mean that YouTube won't be able to accept uploads from European users. Mm-hmm. What it means is YouTube will be legally responsible for what we upload, and so therefore YouTube will choose to not let us upload.
No, that's not what it's saying. It is kind of what it's saying, but basically it means that if YouTube hosts the content, they are then liable. So the liability has switched from you, the uploader, to YouTube. The reason the European Parliament are doing this is it's very clever, is that YouTube can actually afford to pay these lawsuits. You, as a 13-year-old kid at school, rip a piece of someone's content, and at the end of the day, let's not forget, you are taking someone else's creative content and are using it in a way to then put into your own video. Like, I don't agree with parody videos. I don't agree with things like that. I just don't think it's okay. Like, we used to make them. I used to do them at college. I would reach out to the original owner of the video and ask them for their permission.
Right now, the legal system for systems like YouTube and Facebook is that they're not liable for what you do, but the moment they are asked to take a piece of content down, they have to do it within 24 hours.
What is wrong with that?
That's fine.
It's on their platform.
That's fine.
Right.
That's
and so the what's the new state. Legislation
the
say?
The new legislation says that if they allow you to upload something and the moment it's up, it's a piece of copyrighted material, instantly that's their fault and they are instantly sued or liable
but
for legislation.
But in that moment, if you agree with the fact that it's...
But they've not done it. They've not asked for it. They've not encouraged it. You've just done it.
Yeah. Noah, what's your opinion on this as a YouTuber?
That's my opinion as a YouTuber.
You're a YouTuber. What's your opinion?
I'm kind of stuck between... I agree partly with both of you.
I'm seeing points to both.
I get why Josh is saying that it is kind of YouTube's fault if people upload copyrighted material because they're allowing it to be on their platform.
Their platform?
YouTube has created a platform that allows you to upload copyrighted material really
but
easily.
But I also agree that Luke's saying that there is a system that does take down copyrighted
information. So then if there
if
is
you were
a
in
system,
my house
then
and
what's...
I allowed you in my house and unbeknownst
we need to
me.
To stop with all the.
Unbeknownst to me, you were doing something illegal.
Am I at fault?
Is that my fault?
Completely different, and I don't see how that's relevant. Like, in that situation.
It's the same thing.
Yes, if you allow minors to drink in your house, you're responsible,
no,
Luke.
No, no.
That
I'm
is
not saying
the law.
Allow, I'm saying they were doing it without me knowing.
Yep. It's your responsibility.
The moment
it's
I
your
find
house.
Out, then yes, it's my responsibility to stop it.
That's a bit unfair, though.
No.
Because
no.
They can be doing it
I know the analogies are just getting a little bit too
well I would say if there's
none of them are absolute like specific enough and make enough sense. I think that what you're saying is YouTube have, and let's talk about the actual platform itself,
YouTube pay millions and have the servers and host a website that allows the uploading of videos, right? That is no one's right. This isn't a freedom of speech platform. This isn't any, this is no one's right entitlement to it. It's a business. It makes money. It gives your data to people. It puts adverts on this content. If they allow copyrighted content to be put on there, they should be at fault. I don't understand why you're saying they shouldn't.
What you're saying is the word allow.
Yes, if they allow it to happen.
Right.
It's their platform. No one else is responsible.
I would argue
that
they're not allowing it. They have an upload button from which you can upload what you want. They're not allowing it.
So then that system needs to change, doesn't it? That system needs to change. And it needs to be vetted before the videos go on the platform.
This legislation is not giving the opportunity for it to change. They are saying, this is it. Tough.
What do you mean, give the opportunity to change? Okay, if so, you should not be allowed to host anyone's content that is ripping someone else's creative license and their art and their work that they've put effort into.
Well, I mean,
Your argument is they're allowed to do it because it takes them time to find it. If they make it at the upload stage, it literally a sign that says you can't upload.
You're confusing whether the user is doing it or whether the platform is doing it. I'm in no way saying that I should be able to steal someone else's content. If I've stolen someone's content, fucking sue me. Cool, do that. That's my problem. I have chosen to do it. That's my problem.
Right. YouTube have chosen to allow you to host it on their on their platform.
They've allowed me to host...
That is their problem. That's their problem.
They've chosen to allow me to host anything. No,
they haven't. They can't allow you to host anything.
They've not. It's not my logic. You can't tell me what my logic is.
Okay, Luke. I said by your own logic, the point you made before. You have chosen to break the law. They are choosing to allow you to put that content that has broken the law on their platform.
No, they're not. They're choosing to allow me to put anything I want on their platform.
So then that has to change.
Yes.
By allowing you to do anything, they allow you to break the law.
Yes, I suppose, but that to me is
they then allow you to break the law.
That to me is like saying that you're not allowed to talk until you've proven that the thing you're about to say is not breaking the law.
It's
guilty until proven innocent.
I think you both agree that the system should be updated.
No, I don't. I agree with Article 13 it stands.
Really?
100%.
100%.
I don't think there's anything that should change about that. And no one said anything apart from... The one thing that Luke's arguing right here, which is irrelevant to the question anyway, is whether the onus is on the platform or the person.
So that's not irrelevant to the question. That is the entire legislation. That's what the legislation is for.
But... No. The legislation is to protect people that are making content because it's not working. And YouTube's system that you're saying works amazingly doesn't work at all. I don't understand why you think it's okay for them to go. Someone goes and breaks the law, and then, like, if you let a criminal into your house, you are then, what's it called? Party to that murder. If you harbour a criminal in your house, it's not okay.
But then,
going back to your example.
No, that's not my example, in the slightest. My example is I've left the door open for anyone to come in, and then a criminal comes in and does something, and that's apparently my fault for leaving my door open.
That's very stupid.
For leaving my door open.
It needs to change. Just because it's technically okay, you're basically arguing that YouTube is technically not breaking the law. I agree with you that they're not breaking the law.
The law is changing, so they are breaking the law.
They will be eventually, and that's a good thing, because I don't agree with you. I do think that they should be responsible for the content that's on their platform. They're giving you the platform. Without them, you wouldn't be able to share that content. You wouldn't be able to share the... And that's the thing. But before, parodies still existed, and memes could very much still exist. You just need to get permission from someone that owns it. And prove you have that permission. Once you have that proof, then upload it. What's wrong with that? I just think that, one, this is going to create art. It's going to protect artists. It's going to protect creatives.
It's not necessarily going to protect artists, because Ed Sheeran and Dua Lipa got their start by doing covers on YouTube. They would not exist if it wasn't for
then
that.
They have to reach out and get permission.
It's very difficult to
get.
It's very, very difficult to get licensing on music from the music industry.
Then they can write original songs and get noticed that way. I don't understand what you're.
Oh shit.
Fuck.
All right, well, we're
going
to have to wrap, unfortunately, because we've run out of time. But at the start of this story, Josh, you said this.
Yeah. I've yet to see one argument why Article 13 is bad. The amount of people I've seen moaning online about it but also moaning when someone takes a picture of them and doesn't credit them, or is absolutely hilarious. Yeah, I still agree with that. I think it's... I feel like people are being hoodwinked, and that YouTube are trying to get you to focus on something. They're going, well, why should it be our fault? It's like, you know, you put the upload button on your website. You decide to give people that right. Therefore, you need to be the one that is managing the content that goes and it is uploaded to your website.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quick fire round. Josh, a 13-year-old was excluded from school and accused of assault after she threw a Haribo sweet at a teacher during a charity fun day to throw sponges at them. Do you think this is fair?
Yeah, she threw something at a teacher.
Okay.
Violence on our street, assault.
A group of scientists in China claim they have helped bring to life...
She threw something at someone.
It's a fucking gummy bear.
So?
A group of scientists in China claim they have helped bring to life two genetically edited babies. The goal was to modify the twin girls' genes in order to prevent HIV infection and avoid AIDS. Josh, is gene editing okay?
Ooh. Yeah.
I felt like we didn't need to do a full episode on that one.
We've done this before.
I need to go and listen to it. Brexit in every scenario will make the UK worse off, a government forecast has warned. Josh, surely now it's time for a second referendum. Not necessarily my opinion, but Josh, surely...
No.
All right, cool. And the good news story of the week. A retirement home for sloths from zoos has been set up in Wales. Instead of taking on young breeding pairs, Folly Farm has made the decision to home older sloths, which have retired from other zoos. The first of the two residents is Chupé, 24, and Lightcap, 34, who is currently the fifth oldest sloth in any European zoo.
34 years?
How old do they live for?
Right.
I have no idea. That is so incredible. Good. All right, well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. And thank you, Noah, for joining us. Did you have fun, or were you just terrified?
No, it was chill. I'm used to you two arguing, so it's absolutely fine.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook at Educating Josh. All the polls and content from each today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want you to send in more questions for next week's Quickfire Round. Please go subscribe, and most importantly, leave us a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
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 Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.